Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, is the King of Scrabble in Kentucky, Fred Moreland. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Let's add the caveat, lower level Scrabble, but yes. Keeping busy, staying off the streets, as always.
Yeah, just staying off the streets. And a great way to stay off the streets is going to be this upcoming Sunday.
That's right, baby.
Double or Nothing infiltrates Arizona. And I thought about going to this show, Fred, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, a plane ticket to Arizona is probably going to be $200-$300. Buy it, see if I can maybe get a media pass for a ticket, which probably won't be able to, but I can try. And then I can stay for free because my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Mesa. So I'm like, okay, Mesa's only about 20 minutes to the arena. Perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Seems like a great idea. My brother and sister-in-law are going to be here in about 90 minutes. So I couldn't do that. it is what it is. But you know what? Flying on a plane sucks ass when you are 6'6", 330 pounds. So, and I don't want to leave my dogs. So my dogs are sitting next to me, sleeping, getting ready for all the chaos that is going to ensue. And Fred, let me tell you, I'm really excited about this show.
It's a good-looking show, ain't it?
It's a good-looking show. It feels like a hot show.
Yeah, the promotion has got its act together in the past year, and it's really good.
Let's talk about that for a second, kind of big picture, because we haven't been able to be here for a little while.
No.
Because
somebody keeps doing stuff. That's me.
Partially because of me, mostly because you decide Scrabble is more important than wrestling, which... Well, I don't know what's wrong with you, but that's another
I went to the pay winder, Daddy. I got myself $175 in prizes playing Scrabble. Oh, I think you froze. This is going to be a fantastic episode, folks. Tyler over here is mid-word, and he's got a real dopey look on his face as a result. I have no idea if anyone's actually listening to me. Tyler is back, baby. That was a weird 30 seconds.
My internet kind of fluked. So yeah. I'm going to start here.
Okay.
Kind of looking at everything AEW has done over the last year to try and fix what the issues are. I really think going back to their roots and completely deviating from a lot of their general concepts that they created in the right before CM Punk left to beginning of 2024. The Brochachos shit. We're going to be sports entertainment, going from selling out selling 8,000-10,000 tickets for some TV tapings to going down to like 1,500 to 3,000. And I really think going back to the roots of, hey, let's just get hot crowds, cool looking venues, and really focus on the meat and potatoes of what AEW's always been. And that is a work rate promotion. Get good wrestlers in the ring against other good wrestlers. Consistently have 3.5 to 4-star matches on TV with the occasional 4.5 to 5-star match. And get the feeling back that this is a fun-ass promotion. And some of these unique venues, the one that they were at, I think it was in Cincinnati, where it was like a couple weeks ago, and it almost looked like Budokan Hall.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember where it was. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, they've okay, so as a guy that lives in Lexington, Kentucky, I appreciate it when they run RUP. It's very centrally located, easy to get to, don't have to go out of town. I can get there in 10 to 15 minutes, maybe a little longer, traffic's bad. But the last time I went there, they had maybe 2,500 people in this basketball arena. And that's just ensuring that you don't get good reactions. And the crowd that was there was into it. But I mean, it was like a tomb, here. And it's just way too big for that number of people. And fortunately, they've adjusted to that. And yes, obviously it'd be better if they were drawing, 7,000-8,000 people a week, but if you aren't, then you gotta keep it going. You gotta adjust, because what's really keeping the company going is the guaranteed TV money, and you got to at least make your TV show seem, hot and successful. And I mean, obviously a huge part of that is crowd reactions. So I'm glad that they have shifted back to smaller buildings just so that the TV shows are much more entertaining.
Yeah, it feels great to watch AEW again. It's fun. It's engaging. It's entertaining.
I still can't believe, just a real quick note, I still can't believe that they went back to the damn Brochachos storyline after Adam Cole's return from injury. That was just insane. But
I get it, and I don't.
Well, they wanted to wrap it up, and I understand that kind of thought process, but damn, that ain't, of all the ones to just let die, that would have been one.
Yeah. I was going to go somewhere, and then you interrupted me, and now I forgot.
Good. I'm contributing. This is what happens.
This is what happens when you misspell simple words in Scrabble.
Yeah, that's right. But I got the double word for it. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And I really think some of that, and I want to shout out Caseo, Open the Voice Gate. His shoot job is working for Q101 radio station in Chicago. And he got to interview Kyle Fletcher and Sky Blue. And he explicitly asked about the change of venues and what they were trying to do. He's like, and Kyle Fletcher explicitly said, yeah, us wrestlers, we're kind of reinvigorated by it because the crowds feel hot. And there's real emotion and passion there. And it's not just a cavernous space. I really think that's a big deal. And
it is.
If you can fill a 20,000 seat basketball arena every single week, you just do it.
Oh, and then, yeah.
You know what? For collisions and stuff, hey, you go to New York City, run Hammerstein, run a super cool niche show. Buildings like that is where you can do super nerd matches. Because you can make it feel a little special. There's a local spot. It's called First Ave. And it's downtown Minneapolis, kitty corner from Target Center. It's considered the house that Prince built. And Prince, up until the day he died, he would just call up First Ave, show up for a pop-up show, get 500 to 1,000 people in there and just play.
Yeah.
There's something to that. All American Rejects right now, Fred, are going around. And
the house parties.
Yeah. They just played a bowling alley in Minneapolis. People paid $5 to get in.
That's fantastic.
Hell yeah. Like it reignites passion. It reignites the want to do this, to be there. And I do think that there's something to that. And I think when they are filling big buildings, the crowds are still great. But these small, tight-knit crowds, we're only getting 2,000 or 3,000. You know what? Who cares? The crowds are hot. That's how you get people reinvested in the promotion, because they turn on Dynamite's like, whoa, it feels different.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about kind of the direction this company is heading. And it's like the mid-card is stacked. There's so much you can do with the mid-card. You could, like, you just brought in Josh Alexander. You just brought in Speedball. Speedball is kind of speed running through the top of the card right now. He just had the three-way with Kenny Omega and Ricochet. Now he's going to have the match with Kazuchika Okada, which is a cool-ass match in theory.
It is. That match should be great.
Yeah. But the influx of talent to the mid-card, now you have Gabe Kidd available. That's probably just to set up a match with Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door, let's be honest here. But there is a glut of guys, and you can just have them work with each other, and people can take a pay-per-view cycle off and keep them fresh. Like, this is exactly where you want to be from a company standpoint. I'm really bullish on what this company is right now.
Yeah, it's creative has been very solid. Shows have been very solid, outright good often. And I think that this is the company is far healthier than it was a year or two ago. It's great. The post CM Punk era, like, that really hurt. Then some bad creative in there. And, you know, it's funny. I occasionally check out the r/squared circle just to see what people are talking about. Half the time it's like three quarter, this thing just happened on Raw that I don't care about. But I did see someone post a clip of Scorpio Sky bemoaning that he isn't being used. And I'm like, you know, we had a little discussion about this in the writer Slack. I don't know where I'd use Scorpio Sky. Like, at best, I'd have him in the mid card of ROH, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Scorpio Sky is bad or anything, but he's not great. I certainly can't say he's great at anything. And he also flopped pretty badly in pretty much every single push he was given. So, like, why would you be using him over, like, say, Speedball or Josh Alexander, you know, or, you know, the other, anyone else in this mid-card that's feeling hot, you know, like, Dralistico just had a fantastic match, you know, that tag with Roosh and Mike Bailey and Commander, and, like, why would you use Scorpio Sky over any of those guys, frankly?
Well, I will say I liked the idea that they tried to build up Scorpio Sky, because I did think he was a really good tag wrestler. The SCU thing was incredibly over when the company started, but sometimes it just doesn't work, and yeah, you just kind of got to give it up. And it's not like Scorpio Sky is bad.
He's not bad by any stretch. I think he's good. I like him, but, like, you know, also on Collision, I just finished watching the special Thursday night Collision. You know, AR Fox was used in essentially extended squash against Josh Alexander, and Jay Lethal was in the Jobbers to the Star kind of spot on the same show. I wouldn't put Scorpio Sky necessarily above either of those guys. Certainly not AR Fox. I could see the argument for Lethal, but I mean, Lethal is at least, like, super consistent. You know, so I can see why he'd be great for that spot.
You know what Scorpio Sky reminds me of?
What's that? Ethan Page, former tag partner?
Rice. A cracker. Like, just plain, dull, boring, but never bad.
Fair enough.
And it's, I wish he could be more. He just isn't. So, bro, that's he's why also, you're not getting.
He's also 42. So, like, there's not any upside there. He is what he is. So there's that. I think it's time for a heat check, Tyler.
Yeah, heat check.
With a bonus heat check, because Saturday in the parking lot of the building they're running in Glendale, the Desert Diamond Arena. They're running Dean too. And this has a pretty neat card. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I think I heard that it's going to be streaming Sunday, probably. It'll be on a delay. It'll go up on the Ring of Honor YouTube either Sunday or Monday. So,
okay.
But this card is, we'll just run through it real quick so we can get to the main Double or Nothing pay-per-view card. But we got ourselves Erez and Gringo Loco against the Coven of the Goat. That's Tank and... who is the other guy? Jaden Newman, I think, or something along those lines. I apologize. I can't remember who that is. And the list I have just lists the tag team name. You also got Beast Mortos versus Slim J. And I'm going to say that could be really fun because Slim J is, you know, he kind of got a bad gimmick when he came in and just then was never pushed. So that didn't help. But he's a good in-ring guy. You got Josh Woods versus JD Drake, which I think could be really great. And then you get to the real meat and potatoes of this. Rhino versus Manders.
Has a chance.
Could be a great hoss off. Now, I will say I was pretty disappointed by Manders' WrestleMania weekend a couple weeks ago, but, you know, maybe he was a little banged up or something.
It also could just be like the Zack Sabre Jr. match. Shit just didn't work. Yeah. Sometimes, like, with a guy as unique as Zack Sabre Jr., he's got duds, and
yeah, but they're very rare these days.
Yeah, like I mean, duds by Zack Sabre Jr. standards, it's like sure. 3 stars. The chemistries just don't mesh. I just don't think the chemistry's meshed very well. That happens.
Yeah. And then boy, these two back. Okay, Matt Macko challenging Lee Moriarty for the Ring of Honor Pure Championship. I think Lee Moriarty is stealthily like a very good worker. I'm very interested to see how that goes. And then these top two matches, I am very excited for. You got a dog collar match between Mad Dog Connolly and Adam Priest.
Let's go.
Which will be fantastic. I love Adam Priest, and Mad Dog is like so good at these dog collar matches. And then you've got a 10-man Cybernetico, Blue Panther, Neon, Hologram, Volador Jr., Virus, Valiente, Averno, Dr. Cerebro, Zelha, and Euphoria. Let's go.
Zelha, buddy. That's how you pronounce it. Okay.
Zelha? Is it? I think that is what I think. That is not known by me. So yeah, apologies if I botched that, but...
Look, this feels like it should be on a WrestleMania weekend, which the Dean show last year was arguably one of the better WrestleMania weekends.
Oh, it was the best, I would say.
Yeah. Well, Wonder I Bowl. Meant in like the last few years. Really, really impressive. And to do this in honor of him who passed away, I think is really cool. It's a cool gesture. And to make it free... I think it's going to be really intriguing, the fact you're doing it in a parking lot. It's kind of nice. It's kind of legit. Yeah. I like it.
Now, the downside is you're doing it in a parking lot in Glendale, Arizona. And you're starting at 7 p.m., which means the sun will definitely still be up. And it's going to be hot, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how that's going to feel. I think those wrestlers are going to be hitting the water pretty hard. I'd hope maybe get some Gatorade. They're in an extreme drought right now. The high today in Glendale is 102. The low is 71. I don't know. This show could underdeliver because of those factors. I hope they got like a tent and everything going for it. But
it's also when you consider what Arizona weather is, Fred, it's going to be a very dry heat.
Oh, God, the dry heat. It's still 102, though. Like, let's not bullshit ourselves.
But 102 is a lot different than 102 in, like, Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
What time is the show starting?
It has a listed 7 p.m. Start time, which I expect they'll be fairly close to. So it won't be, you know, it'll eventually get dark, but I mean, it could be what, 8 p.m. I think. I just had their weather pulled up. I didn't see an obvious, like sundown time, but Yeah.
Well, let's look it up because we can.
Excuse me. Sorry. Looks like
7:28 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, sunset on Saturday.
Okay, so it won't be too long, but still. Should be all right for the main event, I think.
Yeah. All right, Fred, heat check.
Let's do it, the real one. Dean 2 looks very exciting. Hope it's good.
Yeah, it does.
All right, let's go through Double or Nothing. As of now, according to the Wikipedia, Tony Khan apparently has not been on Twitter in a little bit. There are 10 matches announced. Now, if you're not familiar with the heat check, we go through the card, list every match, and share how excited we are for that match on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is not excited at all, and 10 is super excited, and numbers aren't real, so we break the scale sometimes. Just like Dave Meltzer, which everyone likes and loves. All right, our pre-show match is a tag team match for the women's division. It is Anna Jay and Harley Cameron up against Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Tyler, your thoughts?
I'd say a 6. I'm always intrigued to see Megan Bain wrestle. I want Anna Jay to get more reps because I do think that there's some potential with her. Harley Cameron is so entertaining, and I want her to get reps too to see if there's a wrestling potential there. Like the Mercedes match at Grand Slam, I think I gave it 4 stars. I thought it was pretty good. It was a little rough, but that's like almost every Mercedes match. And Harley showed that she can work relatively well, but she just does not have the back catalog and the experience and to like really have that nuance to take that next step. So I like a pre-show match like this, but let's be real. It's just going to be Harley Cameron like sticking her face between Anna Jay's boobs and doing some motorboat or some shit, because that's kind of what they've been doing the last couple weeks on like social media and stuff. Harley's just been like super horny for her, which I really just don't care about that in my wrestling. If I want that, I'll go watch like a movie or go find some porn. Like I want wrestling. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for that. And you know what? Maybe like for other people, it's like, oh, a draw, but I don't see it personally. Like it was a draw in the 90s because there wasn't the internet like it is today. Like we're in a different world now.
Yeah.
So, but from a wrestling perspective, I think this is a perfectly fine pre-show match. Get people experience, get them in front of a crowd, a relatively big crowd, and let them work. Plus, Megan Bain rules. I'm a big fan. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm at like a 4 on this. I mean, I think that Harley Cameron can work, you know, I if nothing else, she is super entertaining and will be forever over just because of that. The ring work is the big question. We'll see on that. I mean, there's just a lot left. She's stupid young, like ridiculously. Like, is she 20? Am I right here? Let me see here.
Who?
Harley Cameron. I think she's like 20.
25, I think.
25? Okay. So not as young as I thought, but still like quite young. God, am I going to have to put her in my 30 under 30 list? Jeez, I have to finish that up. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think that Megan Bain can be good, but she isn't great, in my opinion, on her own. Like, she can be led there, but I don't think anyone in this match is going to do that. Penelope Ford is, you know, yeah. And Anna Jay isn't bad, but I don't think she's really great shakes or anything. And I worry that maybe, like, this is just what she's going to be. She's still pretty young, too, I think. 26, geez. But I don't feel like she's made great progression. And frankly, I think that if you just send her over to, you know, to Tokyo Joshi or, you know, Marvelous or whatever for a year, you know, it'd be worth the gamble of hopefully she comes back better. But I just think there's a lot of question marks with her that aren't resolved and aren't heading in the right direction. So I don't think this match will be much more than 2 stars. I certainly hope it's not the only pre-show match, but that's what we got right now.
I think you get to 3 or 3.5. I don't think it's going to be great. but I think he can be good. And you know me, I don't like to go below 3 stars. Like if the effort is really and like the work is sound.
Yeah. But I just don't think work will be sound, but we'll see. I'd like to be wrong. Trust me. It is much better for the matches to be good. I'm not heading into this like, oh, it's going to suck. I'm like, I just look into the pieces. Like I'm not super optimistic. But we'll see. That's the only pre-show match. I do have to think we'll get at least 2 more, maybe 1 more that gets a lot of time and then a squash or something. But so we get to the main card and we will open up with the finals of the Women's Owens Hart Foundation Cup tournament, which is Jamie Hayter against Mercedes Moné. I think Jamie Hayter has been out in the wilderness a little bit, but I feel like she's starting to recapture what she was. So Tyler, where are you at on this match?
8. I think they built this match really well. The segment that they had on AEW television, I thought was great. I thought it was awesome that I saw people whining about how little like women's wrestling there was on this show. I just finished Dynamite. We're recording Friday morning, Friday afternoon. Like I didn't get a chance to watch Dynamite until now. Like they put a lot of focus on the women.
Yeah.
Like it was long segments for everybody. You got time to flesh everything out. And then the main event was Mina Shirakawa versus Julia Hart, who I'm still bullish on Julia Hart. I want her to bulk up a little bit, gain some muscle and keep working because I just think some of her stuff looks a little, for lack of a better term, weak because she's still has a very slender physique. But I mean, I'm not asking her to like gain like 50 pounds of muscle, just look a little stronger. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think Hayter and Mercedes, if they really both have their working shoes on, could be great. I really don't know what the finish is going to be here, because I think we thought that it was going to be Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm at All In. But maybe the bigger match in story is Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm.
Maybe. It'll depend how. I still feel like Hayter has not reached the overness she was at when she was injured initially. And that's not a knock on or anything. That's just how wrestling works. You get it over. If you get hurt before you really solidify it, then you can kind of undercut that, unfortunately.
Well, and I feel some of that on her return, though, Fred, is the inconsistency in how she was booked and how much TV time she got. Some of that's not her fault, but you do raise.
I 100% agree. Yeah. I think the part of it, I mean, I think the different look took a while for people to get used to. I'm not saying it's negative. I just think it was an adjustment. I 100% agree with you with her booking. Now, I get why it kind of went that way, because she came back at the same time as like the peak of the Mariah May, Toni Storm storyline. And you had Mercedes Moné doing her different things. And it's clear that they wanted to save Moné versus Hayter for something bigger than just like a, hey, I'm back, let's do a match kind of thing. So I understand it. It's not a complaint, but it's. I think it is real that there has been a loss of heat for Hayter. Now, I feel like in the past couple of weeks, she has got her momentum back and is up on the way up, I should say. So that is obviously good. I think this match could... Now, the thing is that Moné is a little hit and miss. You know, I think, you know, if you want an example of that, now I don't put the blame on her for this match, but the Reina Isis or Isis match was very up and down. And I think Isis blew a couple spots in it. From my watching, it seemed like it was more Isis than Moné. But Moné can be very up and down. But I do think this match could peak at like 4.5 stars, like a truly great match. And
let me ask you a question, Fred. Mercedes kind of gives me that, like, in a similar but also not similar energy of like Sabu, where you just know there's going to be stuff that looks really sloppy and botches, and it usually just kind of works. It's not identical one-to-one, but they give off some of the same energy.
I get a little bit of what you mean with in terms of the botches. I mean, I think Sabu is very different as a worker in general.
I agree completely.
I get what you mean. And I think there's something to that Monet does work kind of sloppily sometimes, but it's a good sloppy typically. And what I'm trying to say here is that, like, it may not look like the crispest move you've ever seen, but it looks like it hurts. And that works in my mind. If you want everything executed perfectly, I can see why you may not agree. I totally get it. But I think that generally she works really hard, and her stuff looks at least intense. And there's something to be said for that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this match quite a bit. So I'll go at an 8 here.
Yeah, I don't even mind if things don't look super smooth and crisp. It's a fight. That's the whole point of wrestling. If it's not smooth and crisp, it almost adds to it. Because it feels more real. That's the whole point. It's to suspend your disbelief.
Yep. But speaking of making it look real, our next match is for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. And we've got the Hurt Syndicate defending against the Sons of Texas, which are Dustin Rhodes and his little adopted Cody Rhodes surrogate, Sammy Guevara.
I want to shout out whoever said that Sammy Guevara just looks like a dollar store Cody Rhodes, because that was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard. And I saw it before I saw that comment, before I saw Dynamite.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Tremendous comment.
Oh, man. Sammy sure has had a fall from grace from the not very good, and somewhat of a failure for him, pillars of AEW storyline, to like not even being allowed to really talk next to Dustin Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes is a great promo, don't get me wrong, though this Dynamite he did not get a great promo, but generally speaking, he's a tremendous promo. And I like Sammy Guevara as a worker. I know some people will crap on him. I think he's a very good high flyer based worker, and I think he has very good, like, little shithead energy. Like, he's a good heel. I just don't think he's got any juice right now. He kind of got sent off to the hinterlands of Ring of Honor with Dustin Rhodes, and like they have not done anything notable there. Be the tag team champions, obviously, but I haven't heard a single person be like, oh, you got to check out this match they had. Like, Ring of Honor is just cold as cold, you know, cold can get. Like, right now, it's just a really not a great spot right now for that promotion or that brand or whatever you want to call it. But that's another conversation for another time. My thoughts on this match, I don't expect a whole lot. Like, I think Dustin can still go a little bit, and Sammy, I think, is actually a good worker. Sheldon's pretty good, and Bobby Lashley's not a work rate guy. He's a guy that throws people around, looks like a badass. You know, that definitely has its place for wrestling. Yeah,
I want to fight back a little bit. I think Shelton's been a really good work rate guy in this company.
I think he's been solid, but I think that I am lower on him than you are.
He's not Tomohiro Ishii, but just everything he's done has been pretty damn good.
I mean, I think he's like when he went through the C2, I thought like he pretty much topped out at like 3.75 stars, you know. So,
and I guess maybe I'm using a slightly different definition of the word work rate in comparison to kind of what you're alluding to, which is 100% fair. I just think he's been really good. But he's not peaking high. He's just been incredibly solid.
It's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's a good mid-card act. I think Shelton is great as like the tag team partner of Bobby Lashley. He fits in really well. He provides the good work of the matches. I mean, again, I'm not saying Lashley sucks. I just think that Lashley is limited, and he's a imposing presence. He's more of a presence guy than a match quality guy, and that is okay. I am not complaining about it. I've actually rather enjoyed this MJF Hurt Business storyline. It's kind of stayed away from the worst impulses of the Brochacho stuff so far. We'll see going forward, because I'm worried that we're going to have more like, oh man, Bobby Lashley is given a large sandwich by MJF, and it's, isn't it wacky? Like, I just hope we don't do that stuff. But I think this match will be all right. I think it'll be probably the shortest one on the main card. Looking at what we got here, I can see it hitting like 3.5 stars. That seems well within possibility. I can see it going maybe 3.75.
I think it might get to 4.
I won't rule it out. Wouldn't say it's the most likely possibility, but I wouldn't rule it out. So I think it'll be a fun little match. I think I probably will not complain about it when it's over, because like the floor on it is like probably 3 stars. You know, like that's not nothing wrong with that.
I
like the storyline. I like Lashley's presence. I like Shelton playing off of that. So this should be fun. And MVP is fantastic. Like, let's be clear, he is a very good heel promo, and he carries himself, and he's willing to ad lib, which I like. I think it's clear that it throws people off sometimes, but I think it works more than it doesn't. And I'm pro that. So.
More wrestlers in suits, please.
Maybe not Sammy Guevara. Maybe not Sammy Guevara, though.
No.
Sammy looks... suits, actually. Yes. Sammy looks like he's showing up for, like, a school picture. This isn't the vibe for him. It's not... I don't think it's actively hurting, but I don't think it's really helping him. I will continue to go down as saying I think Sammy Guevara is a very, very good worker. And I like him, and I would keep him in AEW.
Good hand to have. I'm at a 7 with this. I just want to see. I like the Hurt Business. I think it's a good act. I think it's really cool that they're taking something WWE had that was organic, that was getting over. WWE said screw it, bailed on it, and then they're just doing it and doing it really well. I think from a long term AEW perspective, if you have WWE wrestlers who have that kind of same trajectory, you can make a pitch, be like, just come do it here. We'll do it better and you'll get over.
Take the stuff that they're missing on. I think that's far better than just like outright trying to cop the style. So,
I'm at like a 7.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got a match for the AEW Women's World Championship. We have Mina Shirakawa challenging Toni Storm. Your thoughts, Tyler?
I'm at a 6.5. I think the match will be good. I know that it's not... Odie, you can go outside. The door's open. I know it's not necessarily the like super like rushed. This is a rushed build, Fred. I know we can talk about, last year, the Mariah May stuff. No. This is a rush build. And you know what? It's okay that it's a rush build, but you also just can't expect me to care that much about it because it's kind of a 2-week build. It's fine. I think they'll deliver in the ring. It could be a 4-4 and a quarter star match. We'll see.
I think my take on it is that Mina, this is very transition feeling. Like, I think they originally may have set out for this to be a much bigger feeling match. And then, you know, the past few weeks, they're like, let's get to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like Mina is setting the world on fire. And let's face it, there's a difference between Mina Shirakawa and, like, Saya Kamatani, Tam Nakano, you know, all kinds of different high-level Joshi workers that did not come over. Starlight Kid, Azumi, so on and so forth. I don't think Mina's bad, let's be clear. I think she's pretty good, but she's a step down from those guys, for sure. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. So, this could hit 4 stars, I could see. And, like, that's not bad. I could even see it going a little over, frankly. Because I think Tony has 100% found her groove. It seems like forever ago that we were like, I don't know how this new gimmick's working and all this, the vibes aren't really right with Tony. And like just a month ago, she was an awesome in-ring performer. She's got everything going together perfectly, I think. And she is super confident and you can feel that. And she's super over too. So this should be a lot of fun. I'm at like a 7 on it. I hope to be pleasantly surprised by it, but I could also see it kind of going south. You know, just not the best match. That'll be fine. You know, onwards and upwards and so forth. But I think that whatever they're going to be setting up with the finals of the Women's Owen Cup is going to be probably better.
Yeah.
But speaking of doing better, We've got the white meat babyface team of Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness up against the dastardly heels of FTR with the mononymic Stokely, no Hathaway. Tyler, man, FTR have been reinvigorated by that heel turn.
I'm at a 10 on this match, man. Hell yeah. I think this could be real good.
Oh, I'm excited for it. I'm at a 9 only because Danny has chilled out quite a bit heat-wise, I feel like, since the start of the year. It's unfortunate, but it's just kind of the case. I think it's partially booking, and partially I don't think Daniel has been as good as I hoped he would be. Just a little like a step behind where I'd hope he would be. To the point that I'm wondering, like, if it would have been better for him if he did jump to NXT back when that was a talking point. But I am also a sucker for the former wrestler heel color commentary guy sticks up for the babyface lead announcer guy storyline. Like, that's such good stuff for me. I like how they've had Nigel do his business with this angle. And I mean, FTR are phenomenal heels. Like, they're really, they are in the zone right now. They're doing great performances. It is really good stuff. And I think that, I mean, FTR is so good in the ring that I could see this match like really being great. And it's not that Daniel Garcia isn't good. He is. I think he's quite good, actually. I think he was my top 50 last year. And it's not that Nigel McGuinness can't still go some. I think he can. But it's really going to be like, how on our FTR? And I could see FTR virtually single-handedly taking this up to like a really high level. So I'm very intrigued to see how it goes. They could go the other way and make this more of a story match. Once again, not a bad thing, but it just would be less of a match quality thing. And that's okay, I think, in this circumstance. But, you know, I'll go down as a... I'll put myself as an 8 here.
What is... Like, we know where things are at right now with FTR. What's the long-term plan here? Is it FTR hurt business? Is that what we're working toward?
That's really the thing that's really throwing me off with like projecting the future path of the Hurt Business is what is the MJF stuff going to be? And, you know, there's an obvious parallel. I'm going to move my mic here. So apologies if there's like a bunch of terrible noises here. Now, you could end up with like MJF stabbing the Hurt Business in the back to form a heel group with FTR. And maybe we get like the Pinnacle. I think that was the Pinnacle group that they were several years ago with Stokely that died on the vine. Like, they formed it and then like instantly they're like, well, we're not doing this. And that didn't work out great. Or actually it was Tully and not Stokely for that group. Sorry. I was thinking of the Firm that kind of died on the vine as well in the MJF orbit. But I don't know. I really don't. I guess they could just be like the mean heel team, away from the Hurt Business orbit. You know, there's no real necessity for them to rush towards the titles, I guess. But I like what they're doing. As long as they're getting featured, I mean, I think it'll be a boon to AEW TV because I think they're just a great act right now. And I think Stokely's adding pretty nicely to it.
Yeah, he really is. I'm excited. I like everything ATR is trying to do. It's great.
All right. Next up on the Wikipedia match listing is a stretcher match between Mark Briscoe and Ricochet. Tyler, I am a little trepidatious about this just because I have seen far too many WWE stretcher style matches and ambulance matches that are awful. Now, I felt like there's always involved either Kane or Big Show or maybe both, which is not really going to put the, you know, the wind beneath my wings in match quality terms. But, no. You know, the way they approached it was always a really dumb gimmick, and it was never really good. Never even average, really, most of the time. But, I mean, it's Mark Briscoe and Ricochet, and these two guys rock, and I have to think they're going to approach it a different way. So I am cautiously optimistic here. I'm going to check in at an 8, because I think Ricochet has been a fantastic heel in AEW. I think Mark Briscoe is a fantastic babyface and underutilized. I mean, he's used on TV a fair bit, but he isn't pushed as much as I would have him in the main event scene, or at least hovering around it. Instead of like the babyface's best friend that shows up to you know, fill in a six-man tag. But that's where I am on that. Tyler, your thoughts?
Man, I'm at like a 9. This is kind of giving me, and I think somebody said it, like this is almost like a Sabu kind of tribute match.
I could see that.
Mark Briscoe is going to deliver. He's going to bleed buckets.
Oh, he's crazy.
He's going to bust his ass. I think Ricochet is going to work incredibly hard. Like, saw WWE fans whining. Oh, there hasn't even been a build. You just don't get it. You don't understand some of the things with this.
You can build a batch without them talking to each other for 20 minutes in the ring.
And you don't need 6 months to build a match. You don't. I'm excited for it. I think it could be really, really good. Just keep the tropiness away, and I think we'll see something.
Yeah, I hope it's good. Hope it's good. We will see how it goes. I mean, it should be great, frankly. So we'll see. But I am optimistic about that. I just hope that they work the gimmick smartly, which I think they will. Okay, so going from expressing concern about one gimmick match to another, we've got Anarchy in the Arena, which is going to be teams of 6, so 5 men and 1 woman per team. You've got on the babyface side, Kenny Omega, Swerve Strickland, and the Ops, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Katsuyori Shibata. And Willow Nightingale facing off against the Young Bucks and the Death Riders. So you got Moxley, Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, and Marina Shafir. You don't have Gabe Kidd in this match, so I fully expect him to run in at some point. They got the junior, the best of the Super Junior tournament going in New Japan. What are your thoughts on this one, Tyler?
Are we sure Gabe Kidd's not in the match? I know the match graphic that they showed on Dynamite did not have Gabe Kidd, but then Gabe Kidd shows up at the end of Dynamite. I think Gabe Kidd's going to be in the match, and I'm calling the return of Eddie Kingston on Sunday night.
That would be a nice way to bring him back.
Timing wise, it makes sense. He had surgery in like June or July. ACL recovery for a standard athlete is minimum 9 months. You know, he had a broken leg along with that. How much does that complicate things? I don't know. But Eddie's also a little older, and he's also more out of shape, which can also complicate things a little bit more. So closer to 10 months, which is maybe even 11 months, which is what this would end up being, I think is a realistic point to where he can return. And the pop, Eddie Kingston would get. Fuck Darby Allin. You get Eddie Kingston, you give him that title. Like, I don't care about the Darby stuff. Who cares? Give it to Kingston. Because I think it would work so well within the story of Eddie. It would work well with the story of Jon Moxley. And I think it'd be great. I think it's going to end up being Hangman Page or Will Ospreay, but you can't rule it out.
Yeah.
This could be really, really good. I'm at a 9.5. Every time I see Samoa Joe, I want to just go back in time to everybody who ever booked him like shit and beat them up. Samoa Joe at like Samoa Joe's 46 right now. If you were 15 years younger, this guy would be a top 5 star in the world today.
Wrestling
blew Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it is amazing how poorly he was used for so long by TNA and WWE. And it's like, how do you mess this up? Like, it's booking malpractice. But now here's my concern here is I think that we've gone to basically it's double or nothing time. We have to do an Anarchy in the Arena, and I hate that. And I think the worst part of it is I don't really have an issue with it being used with this angle they're running, but the fact it's become annual is making it feel like a real WWE Hell in a Cell kind of thing, which is not good in my mind. And
at least it's so, well built, but the construct having to be here does suck.
Like, why does it have to be always a double or nothing, and why do you have to do one a year? Like, you should save it for when it's needed. They kind of forced it in last year, which was not to their benefit. I mean, that was at the peak of like the bad elite storyline, and then they just kind of slapped a babyface team together of Darby Allin, FTR, and Bryan Danielson. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. The match should be great, but the entire time in the back of my head, I'll be like, can we just take a couple years off this gimmick? You know.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's tough, but I do think that this has been incredibly well built. So I'm excited about it.
Coming up next, we've got Mike Bailey challenging Kazuchika Okada for the AEW Continental Championship. This should be a good one. What do you think, Tyler? Tyler just bailed on me. No word of warning or anything. Just ran away out of fear of Kazuchika Okada possibly flipping him off. Well, I'll tell you how I think about it, dear listener. All 10 of you. That may be optimistic. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. I think it should be a lot of fun. I think Okada can still go in the ring some. I think he's lost his vibes, though, which is a big concern, I think. I think he's been a kind of a disappointment since coming into AEW. But I'll tell you who hasn't been, and that's Mike Bailey. And Mike Bailey has been working his ass off, having great matches regularly. And I think he could help this be a truly great match. I'm still a little trepidatious just because it is Okada in 2025. I don't think he's working particularly hard. We'll see how much he puts into this match. But, you know, I mean, even with modern Okada, it's still like he's having 4-star matches pretty regularly when he is working. So I can't really be too negative about that. So I'll drop in at a 7 on this one, and we'll see whose work effort, whose effort, I should say, at working wins out. Tyler, your thoughts on Bailey challenging Okada?
I'm at an 8. I think this could be really fun. I like the clash of styles, but the clash of styles could also end up being bad. So we'll see how things progress. But I'm intrigued. The reason why I had to bail is because Marzipan, our new Boston Terrier rescue, decided to destroy a chair outside. I could hear pulling. I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
Well,
we've been introducing bones. And, well, when she doesn't have a bone, she's still a puppy. And, well, it is what it is. But I think this could be really, really good, really intriguing from that perspective. And I'm excited, Fred. I'm really excited to see how this ends up kind of working out.
I hope it works out. I like I said, I'm a little concerned, but otherwise I think it could very easily be great. So another match that I think looks very good on paper, and I think the big question here is just how much time they're going to get, is the Don Callis family of Konosuke Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, and Josh Alexander facing off against the Paragon of Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. I think those are 6 great workers, or, you know, 5.5 if you want to be mean to Adam Cole. That's not a height joke. That's just I think he's the weakest guy in ring of these guys. But I think there is a concern here that this match will be shortchanged for time, because outside of, I think, the I'd have to say the men's tag match, I think this could be the second shortest on the main card. But I think this could be a great match if allowed. So I'll check in at an 8 here and hope for the best. Tyler?
I'm at a 6. I don't want to see Adam Cole. The rest of that match looks spicy. But Adam Cole, I'm so over that skinny little gamer. I'm sorry. I'm out.
I'm not completely out on him, but I do think he's in a very tough position in AEW right now. And it's kind of interesting because they're still trying to position him as a big deal. And I don't know if that's really taken. But
no, he's not. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of good wrestlers in there.
Yeah.
It could be good. Let's find out.
I don't think Adam Cole is bad. I just think he's kind of a little played out at this point, and I don't know what you do with him. It's a very curious situation.
He just is what he is, and I'm over him. I'm completely over Adam Cole.
Boy, he really got hurt by that Bochacha storyline real bad. And our main event is the final for the Men's Owen Hart Foundation Cup Tournament. Hangman, Adam Page, Will Ospreay. Tyler's already making noises, so I hand it over to you, brother.
500. 500. I am so excited for this match. This is one of the few like big ticket matches that AEW still has left that they have not used. They're going to use Omega Okada at All In. First time they'll have wrestled one-on-one since Dominion 2018. That's going to be a big deal. I mean, the fact that it's been 7 years since they've wrestled against each other is just crazy to me. But just sometimes that kind of stuff just happens. It is what it is. Yeah. I can't wait because I think we're finally starting to turn a corner with Hangman Page. The promo on Dynamite this past week where he started like opening up and realizing that, hey, nothing else mattered except like killing Swerve and then how it was impacting his life and how he's trying to turn a corner. I think we're starting to get out of that realm of what Hangman Page has been recently, and we're starting to get the Hangman Page back that won the world title from Kenny Omega in 2021. Is it an exact? No. But I do like the fact that Hangman has taken Swerve entering his house for, and it's been almost 2 years, and he's still like beating up over it because like, that's not a normal thing. Like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of cool that they're still continuing this. And it's Will Ospreay. This match could be like Dave Meltzer's 6.5-star kind of range. Like, this could be incredible. And I'm really, really, really excited for it.
Yeah, I think it could be truly fantastic. I'll check it out at 10 here. I think it's going to be really I think it could be really great. And I think it's going to be very exciting. So.
Only a 10? You're a coward.
I know. I am a little off just because the sad boy Hangman thing is a little tiresome to me at this point. But I still think I'm very, very excited for it. So yeah, that's all I got to say. I think it'll be a fantastic match, and I think it'll be, I think it could be a really big moment actually in AEW's history. So I hope that it delivers. I can't imagine it not, barring like a terrible injury or something. So,
who do you think wins?
Boy, that's a big question. I get the feeling, I think they're kind of setting it up for Ospreay to win, I think, given the way that they talked. So,
I get it. I think that it's probably going to be an Ospreay win. I cannot rule out Hangman Page.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you could easily have Page win this. I just don't get that vibe. So, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that. But I don't know. I could have a bad read on it. I think it leaves it up. I think it's a big question. Who does win? But I could see them pulling the trigger with Page. But I just get the vibes it's going to be Ospreay. And, you know, we alluded to this earlier. I think waiting for Darby Allin to come back to make him the champion and not go with, I mean, Swerve is over, Page is over, and Ospreay is over. I don't think you can go wrong with any three of them. And yeah. I think that they're all superior options to Darby. I think Moxley has turned the whole Death Rider thing around once they kind of just became like generic heel group, you know, that hates everyone rather than, oh, we're going to change the company and then not really do that. So I don't know, man. I'm optimistic for it, but I just hope that it it pays off.
Me too. The best. I'm excited for the show. I probably won't be able to watch live. I'm actually going to be at, so the Minnesota State Fair does like a kickoff every Memorial Day weekend, and it's like one of my wife's favorite things, and her birthday is next Thursday. So we're doing that, and I think it'll be good. The show will end the kickoff thing, but I'm really excited to kind of watch it probably Monday or Tuesday, and I think the show could be great. It has, if everything lands, it has all-timer potential.
Yeah.
But it's a big if having everything land. So we'll find out.
Yeah. I think this will end up being a very good show. I think the question of if it's going to be like an all-time pay-per-view is up in the air. But I think it's within group or within reach, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah. Fred, that's our show.
That is our show. I hope everyone enjoyed, and I hope you all have a great weekend and enjoy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and we will be back next week, hopefully with a review of the show, and maybe if Fred and I can work it out, talking about the 30 under 30 and the AEW candidates. I think that would be a really nice addition. For those of you that don't know, here at Voice of Wrestling, we do a top 30 under 30 list of every wrestler in the world. If you are under the age of 30, as of, I think it's June 1st, 2025, then you are eligible for this list. Every wrestler in the world. Whatever promotion. And we get a wide variety of opinions. Those who watch a lot of Joshi, those who watch a lot of Lucha, those who watch a lot of American, those who watch a lot of European wrestling, to include their voices in here, because we want to get as comprehensive of it as a list as possible. And last year it was a huge success. We're hoping that it'll be again this year. And Fred and I will talk about the AEW candidates, which there are surprisingly not as many as you might think. And we'll kind of give lists of people who we think are going to be right at the top, and it'll be a good time. But until then, please give us 5 stars. Tell us what word Fred will misspell in his next Scrabble tournament. And we look forward to reading those. We look forward to having you back next time. I'm Tyler. He's Fred. Enjoy Double or Nothing.
Yo, take care.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.